So when you people pray, remember Joshua. Joshua was hospitalized yesterday. He was admitted to emergency because he has a problem in breathing. I think his lung is filled with fluid. Yeah. It's pretty serious. So pray for him. Okay? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we remember your precious Son, the one that you purchased with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Joshua Lamb, and he is now hospitalized. And I pray that you watch over him and watch over his soul. I handed his life, his spirit, his soul, and his body into your hand. And you are the great God. You are the one who create everything. Nothing is impossible in your sight. And I pray that you have mercy on Joshua and spare his life so that once again he be able to serve you. And as for us, I pray that now that we have a healthy body and we know that our entire life has been purchased by you and we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to you. And help us to remember that. And help us to realize that our body is your temple. And anyone who destroys the temple of God will be destroyed by you. And I pray that you help us to keep our body holy. So as to serve you in a way that is pleasing in your sight. I pray that you hear our prayer and be merciful to each and every one of us. I hand it to you the following time and hour and help us to study your word and help us to remember what we can learn from you, the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want you to study one Bible verses in detail, which is 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. So Emily, I would like you to read it, and then Etter to read it, and then Joyce to read it. Emily, you read it once. 3:23, 1 John.
And this is his command, to believe in his, in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us.
And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another.
What is his command? There's two parts. But his command is singular. It's only one command. Composed of two parts. And the first part is to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ. Believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ. If you believe in something else, or say, I believe in the pastor, I believe in the elders, I believe in my father, I believe in my mother, it is not good enough. Believe in the name of his Son, the name of God's Son. God has a lot of sons, but his Son Jesus Christ is only one. We are his Son too. Okay, in chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Collectively, we are called children of God. Individually, we are called sons of God. And believing in the name of his son is not good enough, because his son, we all have our own name. God will name us, okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ knows his sheep. He will call his name, know each and every one of us. And in here, the Bible says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, not believe in anybody else. What is the name of his son? Jesus Christ. Okay? And to love one another as he commanded us. I want you to circle the word belief. Explain the word belief to you. What does it mean by belief? And how do we believe? Let's take a look at Mark chapter 5. Etta, I would like you to read the story, and from verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 8. Mark, chapter 5, 1 to 8. Mark, chapter 5, 1 to 8. So that fellow who was demon-possessed, and in verse 7, he shouted at the top of his voice, and what do you want with me? What do you want with me? That translation is not too good. The NASB translation is even better. What do I have to do with you? Okay, NASB translation is better, and in here it's okay. What do you want with me? That means that fellow who is filled with the demon possessed, he is possessed with the demon, and he shouted at the top of his voice, saying, "What do you want with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me." Based upon his saying, we notice that he believed in the name of his son Jesus Christ. Okay? Not the man himself knows that Jesus is the Son of God. It is the evil spirit who say that. So what am I trying to say? To believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ, by just believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ, and then you say in your heart, cry out from the top, cry out to God, at the top of your voice, what do you want with me? I got nothing to do with you. I have no relationship with you. Just believing in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and have no relationship with Jesus, and you still go to hell. So that's why I want to spend time to study these Bible verses with you. I want you to truly understand so that you won't be deceived by Satan. I want you to write it down right beside to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ, to believe, okay? Right beside to believe, you write down Mark chapter 5, verse 7. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" That means this evil spirit knows. This evil spirit know that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. And if we believe in the same way, just believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and you think you can go to heaven? No, I don't think so. Okay? Because even the evil spirit knows that. Is he afraid of Jesus? Yes, he is afraid of God. And what did he say to Jesus? He swore to God that you won't torture me. Verse 8, for Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man. Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Who is Jesus talking to? Jesus is not talking to that man. Jesus is talking to the evil spirit. In other words, verse 7, he shouted. He shouted at the top of his voice. That means the evil spirit shouted at the top of his voice, using that man to say what the evil spirit wants to say. Because Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion," he replied. "For we are many." He was so filled with a lot of evil spirit inside his body. You understand? I want you to write it down right beside to believe in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. You write down Mark 5, 7. And then I want you to go to James. James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verse 19. Etta, could you read that? So I want you to write down two Bible verses. One is Mark 5, 7. The other is James 2, 19. Read that.
"You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder."
So I want you to write down right beside James chapter 2, verse 19. You write down Mark 5, 7. Right beside Mark 5:7, you write down James 2:19. I also want you to write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, right beside that, so that you have a better understanding what the scripture is trying to say to you. Don't just hold on to one word and you're thinking that you understand it. Because this Bible verse, chapter 3, verse 23, is so important, and I want you to have a deeper understanding of what the Bible is saying to each and every one of us. I want you to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the right way. Not believe in the name of His Son in the wrong way. If you believe just like what the evil spirit believe, you will go to hell. The evil spirit possessed that fellow, and his name called Legion, because there's many. And evil spirit cannot go to heaven. Evil spirit believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. That means, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, he obeyed God's command superficially. Am I right? And his command is what? To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he believed in it. But he said, what do you want with me? I got nothing to do with you. I have no relationship with you. I'm not going to obey you. So brother and sister, if you think that you believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and you think you can go to heaven, you're wrong. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to obey him. Otherwise you follow the very footstep of the evil spirit. His name called Legion. Or you just follow according to James chapter 5, James chapter 2 verse 19. Satan also believed in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But he shuddered. He has nothing to do with Jesus. He did not obey Jesus. Do you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say? So in other words, so what that belief means, not just believe with the head knowledge. You believe in your heart with obedience to what he's going to say to you. Am I right? You can't say, well, I got to do with you. So if you believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, you better seek his will. Know his word so that you can obey his word. That's what it means by believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, now I give you some illustration. Do you remember Matthew chapter 3, verse 15? Donald, could you read that? To do what? To do what? Baptism, right? So in other words, Jesus Christ saying it's proper for us to be baptized. If I believe in the name of his Son, should I be baptized? Okay, I give you another illustration. Let's take a look at the Matthew. Let's say, Matthew chapter 6. Donald, could you read that? Chapter 6, verse 1 all the way to verse 4.
Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
So in other words, if I have some money, and I'm moved by the Holy Spirit to give it to a certain poor fellow, okay? And I give. And when I give, I tell everybody. According to this Jesus teaching, chapter 6, verse 1, all the way to verse 4, will I be rewarded from our Heavenly Father? No? So that means what you have done is in vain. So to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, means not just purely believe in his name. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, what his name stand for? His name stand for the word of God. Donald, could you read that? Revelation 19:13. If I believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ, that means I believe in the word of Jesus Christ. His name is the what? It's the word of God. So if you believe in his name, Jesus Christ, if you believe the name of his son, Jesus Christ, that means you believe in the word of God. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So, this is his command. What is his command? To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. So the first part and the second part are inseparable. The first part is to believe. The second part is to love. These two are inseparable. So I want you to turn to James chapter 2. Fourteen all the way to 26. James chapter 2:14-26. Edda, could you read that? No, James 2:14. Yeah.
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but have no deeds?
So in other words, what good does it do? If a man claim to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ, but has no love. Right? What is his command? Emily? To believe and to love one another. So these two are inseparable. And together form the command of God. And this is God's command to each and every one of us. But when we believe in the name of his son, we don't believe the way that evil spirit believe. Evil spirit only believe in his head. He did not believe in his heart, because he has no obedience in his heart. You understand what I'm trying to say? He has nothing to do with Jesus. Okay? He has no relationship with Jesus. He did not want to follow Jesus. So that's why he shudder. Just like 2:19. Even the demon believe and shudder. He's afraid. Because he didn't obey God. Okay? And you believe that there's one God. Good. But it's not good enough. You know, sometimes, if you don't explain it, people thought that they truly believe in God. But in reality, they don't. This is a very great deception from Satan. And I'm glad that we have Bible verses like Mark chapter 5, verse 7, James chapter 2, verse 19. You know? Don't follow that footstep. And James explained this clearly to us. What good it is, my brother, if a man claim to have faith, claim to believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ, but has no love, but has no deed. Can such faith save him? The answer is no. Same as if you, let's say, if you don't study scripture, and the Bible say you have to give to the poor, but when you give to the poor, when you give to the needy people, you let the whole world know. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then when you see Jesus Christ say, I'm sorry, you get your reward already. There's no reward for me. And then you have surprise. They say, why you're surprised? Because you don't read the scripture. He spelled out clearly. I mean, the kind of love that God requires of us to love one another is to sacrifice yourself. Hey, you give to people, you let the whole world know you're not sacrificing. You want people to praise you. But when you give to the people, and nobody knows who sacrificed, you sacrifice. You follow the footstep of Jesus Christ. And the Lord say, wow, you sacrifice so much, eh? When the person that who received the favor, and the Pharaoh say, wow, I give glory to God. Because I see that he followed the very footstep of Jesus Christ. He did exactly how Jesus did. You understand what I'm trying to say? It is very, very important. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with action and in truth. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongues, but with actions and in truth. Your action has to be in conformity with the truth. Otherwise, your action doesn't count. Otherwise, your action will not be rewarded. If you do it according to your own way, not do it in God's way, you will not be rewarded. When you see him face to face, he say, your love is a worldly love. Your love is not a true love, as described in the scripture. Does it make sense? Go back to James, chapter 2, verse 15. Heather, could you read that?
Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?
So in other words, 15 to 16, this fellow, he prayed for that poor fellow, right? He just prayed. He just blessed. We should pray too. We should bless too. But he has no deed. You understand? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you said to him, go, I wish you well. So he blessed him. Keep warm and well fed. But does nothing about his physical need. What good is it? So I want you to write beside that. You write down 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with action and in truth. Verse 17.
Show me your face without deeds, and I will show you my face by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
So the reason why the demons shudder with his belief, because his belief doesn't accompany with action. And what did he say in Mark chapter 5, verse 7? Etta, could you read it one more time? Don't depart, First John, don't depart, James. Go back to Mark 5, 7. Take a look at what the evil spirit said to Jesus. So, there's a few things that I see that he didn't obey the word of Jesus Christ. You know what did Jesus say? Never swear. He swear, right? Secondly, we have to obey Jesus. And he said, what do you want with me? I got nothing to do with you, right? What did Jesus want us to do? Did he want us to carry our own cross and follow him and obey him? Did he? Right? He said, what you got to do? What I got to do with you? What do you want with me? Right? David, I have nothing to do with you. I have no relationship with you. I have no fellowship with you. I don't follow you. I don't obey you. Okay? So, he did a few things right too. What did he did is right? In verse 6, he ran and fell on his knee in front of him. He knelt down. That's right. Okay? And he knows Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. It's right. But when he say, what do you want with me? That's not right. And he swear that's not right. But when he prayed, that is right. You know, if I count that, at least he did three things right. He kneeled down before Jesus. He prayed to Jesus, right? Well, it looked like he did 60% right and 40% is wrong, right? But that 40% caused him to go to hell. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you understand? Now I understand why Jesus say, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Not love God with only 60% or 40%, you know what I mean? Donald, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Why do you have to love God with 100% of your heart? If you only love 40%, you say, okay, you kneel down in front of Jesus. You pray to Jesus. But in your prayer, you swear, okay? In your prayer, you say, I got nothing to do with you. Right? But you know Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. And still lead you to hell. Does it make sense? When you follow Jesus, ask Jesus to fill us with his word. So that we know what is right and what is wrong. And Satan is the king of this world. And he deceives people now. Every time when we read the Bible, he deceived those who disobey Jesus. As recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He blinded our eyes that we can't see the glory of his word. Okay? The God of this age, that is Satan, has blinded the mind of unbeliever. When we read the Bible, and then we don't believe in his word, the moment you don't believe in his word, he's going to blind your mind so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? So no wonder, before I believe in Jesus, I read the scripture, I don't quite understand what he's trying to say to me. You know? By the time I want to follow him, by the time I obey him and believe in him, and gradually, I start to understand. I start to understand what he's trying to say to me. You know, if you just read 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, and to love one another as he commanded us, and you say, wow, that's easy. To believe in the name of his Son, that's all. And not knowing that, in other part of the scripture, Mark chapter 5, verse 7, that fellow who is filled with the demon, his name called Legion, there's 2,000, over 2,000 evil spirits filled in his heart. And that fellow also knows Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. He believed in the right thing. He kneeled down and he prayed. And yet, within his prayer, he swore. He shouldn't have swore. Okay? And in his prayer, he said, what do you want with me? I got nothing to do with you. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you pray, you say to God, God, I am your son. I'm purchased by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you. God, have mercy on me. Spare my life and use me. You understand? Don't ever say, what do you want with me? Donald, do you understand what I'm trying to say? What do you want with me? That is bad. You should have said, you are my Lord, I'm your servant, I kneel before you. Whatever you commanded me, and I'm going to do it. Right? So, I'm glad we have the Bible. And hide this kind of word within your heart. Write these Bible verses right beside 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And next time when you read at home, you study in detail. And check it out to see what Pastor John say is right or not. Nowadays, a lot of people going to the church, they don't understand what the Bible say. And they say they are God's son. And when Jesus asked him, do you know me? Do you know my word? He said, not much. Yesterday I go and visit Joshua and I met Moses Lamb. He told me he went to the Caucasian church. And he said, the pastor talk about fellowship, talk about small group, and saying to the congregation, you got to join the fellowship, join the small group. Some small group are cooking small group. Some small group are soccer, playing football. But he didn't even quote the Bible verses. He tell all kind of stuff. When we go to the retreat, we talk about fellowship too. Apostle John saying that our fellowship is with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. And if we have fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, we will have fellowship with brother and sister. You tell people, we have to have fellowship because we have fellowship with God. You understand what I'm trying to say? Instead of say cooking fellowship. Football fellowship, music fellowship. That church has 5,000 people within the church and teach this kind of stuff. They don't even have to flip the Bible. They don't even have to write down any notes in the Bible. And I know one thing, when I pass away, Satan will come to this church. And use someone else to teach you something other than what the Bible says. Unless you are so filled with the Word of God. If you let the word of God dwell within your heart, then you won't be deceived. And after the worship, you're going to shake hands with the pastor. You say to the pastor, how come you don't open up the Bible and tell me what the Bible says? Why are you telling what you want to tell me? You know, if every member of the congregation say to him like that, I think next Sunday, he dare not do it. You understand what I'm trying to say? And he said to me, I feel very sad. Moses said to me, oh, the music ministry is perfect. What does it got to do with music ministry if I don't even hear the word of God? What is the pillar of the church? Take a look at 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. The pillar of the church is the word of God. It is the living word. The living word is the pillar and the foundation of the church. Etta, could you read that 3:15?
If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth.
The pillar and foundation of the true . If I go to a church of the living God, I have to hear the truth. I have to hear the truth. Do you know that a lot of church, they have love, but their love is not in truth? Do you know that a lot of people go to the church, they worship God just like the evil spirit bow down before Jesus? They kneel before Jesus? But they don't worship God in truth and in spirit. Gospel of John 4:24. God is spirit. Everyone who worship God come to the church of a living God. You have to worship God in truth and in spirit. If I do not hear His truth, your worship, your bow down is in vain. Four 24, read that. Enter.
God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Verse 23. Our Heavenly Father seek what kind of worshiper? Not just kneel down before Him. You just kneel down before Him physically. Yeah, you're worshiping God. But whatever the word uttered from your mouth is not in conformity with what the Bible says. The Bible says you should not swear, He swear. The Bible said that we are the Son of God, and you say, what you got to do with me? The Bible said we have to obey God. And you do not obey. Right? That kind of worship is in vain. If a 5,000 congregation, the pastor is like that. And I'm afraid. We'll be in deep trouble. And joy. Tell me what you just told me. That what did you see in the poster in U of A? Yeah. They posted in the U of A, asked the student to come to his church. It's a United Church. I will pay you $10 if you be a coordinator of the Sunday school teacher. I pay you $10. And you have to go to the church ahead of time. You know what? When I want you to be Sunday school teacher, I teach you God's word. I teach you God's word. And then I expect you to teach the other people. You don't get paid for it. God couldn't pay you back. They're not training people. They're not making disciples of all nations. Do you know why when I teach you God's word, I write down the Bible verses? Do you know why? I could have just say what I want to say to you. And then I don't tell you the Bible verses. Then no way you can check it at home. I tell you the Bible verses, how I interpret the Bible, so that I want you to follow me. Follow the very footstep when you teach other people. Do you know where I learned this? Do you want to know where did I learn this kind of method? You think I learned it from seminary? No, I didn't learn it from seminary. I learned it from Paul. I learned it from the author of the New Testament and Old Testament. I proved that to you. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew. Let's give you a few examples. Just arbitrarily, okay? Let's say Matthew 2. I want you to read. Either read chapter 2, verse 3, and all the way to 6.
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called to the Magi.
No, that's stop here. I learned it from this. I learned it from Matthew. Matthew recorded the visit of the Magi. And when King Herod has called together all the people, chief priests and teacher of the law, King Herod asked the chief priests and teacher of the law where the Christ was to be born. And they say, in Bethlehem, Judea. They could have said, in Bethlehem, in Judea. That's all. Believe in me. You understand what I'm trying to say? He don't just say, the Christ was born in Bethlehem in Judea. And then he say, for this is what the prophet has written. And then he tell the King Herod, what did the prophet saying? In verse 6. When I interpret the scripture, I follow the biblical way. When you interpret the scripture, you quote the scripture and interpret the scripture, I can go back to look at this scripture and then I check to see whether really the Christ was born in Bethlehem in Judea. That is recorded in what? That's in recorded in Micah, right? Chapter 5, verse 2, isn't it? I don't have Old Testament in here. Could you read that? Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And you can go back to Micah and check that to see whether really the Christ was born in Bethlehem, in Judea. You want to read that, Daniel? Chapter 5, verse 2. Is it 5:2? Could you read that?
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are
sons of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Okay. And take a look at chapter 4. Before chapter 4, the temptations of Jesus. Take a look at Jesus' baptism first. After Jesus was baptized, what did the Bible say? 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What did Jesus hear? Jesus hear God the Father, his Father, his Heavenly Father, say to him, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That is one jot. That is what John the Baptist has heard. That is what God, Jesus Christ, has heard. Am I right? And then in chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and night, he was hungry. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God," you know what? Not only John the Baptist has heard that, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased," the devil has heard that too. On top of that, Jesus himself has heard that. And then the devil is not happy about that. He's a tempter. He came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, as what your Heavenly Father has said, tell this stone to become bread. Because if you are truly the Son of God, you shouldn't be hungry. How come the Heavenly Father let you fast 40 day and night? Did he not love you? How come you're hungry?" Same when you suffer, the tempter will say to you, "Are you the Son of God? How come you suffer?" Did Jesus see with his eye at that time after his baptism? Did he see God? No. He just heard the voice. The Bible says, a voice from heaven said. He didn't say, God the Father appeared to him. I want you to write it down right beside here. 3:17, a voice from heaven said. You write down. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live not by sight, but by faith. You heard it. Faith comes from the hearing of the message. The message comes from the word of God. Romans 10:17. Jesus only heard the voice from heaven. He didn't see the appearance of God. And he believed that he is truly the Son of the Most High God. But the tempter say to him, "If you are the Son of God, you shouldn't be hungry. You shouldn't suffer." Right? Andrew, can you read that 5:17? I'm sorry, not 5:17, 5:7. Is it? Did I say 5:17? Or do I say 5:7?
We live by faith, not by sight.
5:7, right? Not 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We live not by sight, but by faith. By faith, faith comes from hearing. Hearing the message. Romans 10:17. Read that. The message comes from the word of Christ.
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.
So Jesus Christ himself, he heard the voice from heaven. He did not see the appearance of God. And yet he believed that he is the Son of God, whom God is well pleased, whom God loves, right? And yet the tempter say, if you are hungry, you may not be the Son of God. And what did he say? How did Jesus Christ reply him? Verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's how I learned that. And I warn you, when I'm no longer in this church, when I'm in heaven, and you carry the baton and teach the other people, I warn you, don't tell story. I want you to teach people whatever your interpretation, whatever you think this is how you should interpret the Bible, I want you to quote the Bible verses, where the Bible verses come from, so that people can check you out, so that you cannot deceive other people. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't just say, believe in me. That force you to make sure that you get the correct interpretation. Force you to find out where you get the answer. I also learned it from Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to learn it from me because I learned it from Paul. And then that means you learn it from the Bible. Okay? So, read that, chapter 2, verse 10, all the way to the end. Etta. First Corinthians.
But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words.
In other words, Paul saying that he explained God's truth with God's word. I'm explaining 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. This is God's command to us to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. And I explaining to you what does He mean by believe. Follow the footstep of Jesus Christ. He believed by faith, not by sight. Follow the footstep of Paul too. Paul said to us in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We believe not by sight, but by faith. Faith comes from the hearing of the message comes from the word of Christ. In other words, if we do not study the word of Christ, if we do not study the Bible, you have no faith. You think you have faith, but you have no faith. Because faith comes from that. And otherwise, you're going to keep believing what you think is right. Do you understand? In other words, the more you study the Bible, the more you memorize it, the more you have faith in God. Am I right? There's a right way. There's a wrong way. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know what's the seems right way? As a Christian, I go to the church every Sunday. I don't bring my Bible. I have a good time. After going Sunday worship, I don't even attend Sunday school. I go to dim sum. Wow. Donald like it, right? You like dim sum? Now you smile. But after Sunday worship, we go for Sunday school. You say, yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right? So, I just forget what I just said because I love dim sum too.
But, it's too early for dim sum.
Too early for dim sum? What did I just say? I forget the thought. not about dim sum. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 14:12. There's a way which seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, it seems to a lot of Christians the right way is just go to Sunday worship. And then don't even bother bringing the Bible. That's the right way. You know, we enjoy God is love, you know. God is love. God is kind. God is mercy, you know. He has mercy on me, you know. And after that, you know, I don't want to hinder me. I don't want a big Bible to go to dim sum place. Everybody know that I'm a Christian, you know. I just go there, you know. Have a good time. Isn't it? That's the wrong way. In the end, it leads to death because you have no faith in Jesus. You have to bring your Bible, write down the notes, and go home and check out what Pastor John has said. You have to have this kind of habit. Okay? I want each and every one of you follow what Jesus has commanded us to do. In Gospel of John chapter 13, we have to watch each other's feet. When your teacher says something wrong, you check him out, you tell him, don't ever do that again. Because that will mislead the other people. I want you to watch each other's feet. Okay? When someone washes your feet saying that what you say is wrong, you better be humble. Why? Chapter 5, verse 3 in Matthew. Blessed are those who are humble, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. If you fight back, be a proud man, follow the footsteps of Satan, you will go to hell. Someone telling you that you are wrong, you better change it. Okay? That is the truth. That is the truth. Satan is the one, when God tells him you are wrong, and yet he fight back. Never turn around. Never repent. And shudder. He believed that Jesus is the Son of God. But he did not obey. You remember the song that we sing? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You understand? Believe in God in the right way with an obedient heart. How do I know you believe God with an obedient heart? How do I know that Satan hasn't blinded your eyes? When I see your deed, good deed of love. And in your love, you don't announce to everyone. You just do it without anybody knowing that. And God know that. Oh, I tell you one thing. Your good deed has recorded in the book of Lamb, and you'll be rewarded. Do I make myself clear? Believe in God without love, without good deed. That kind of belief is not a biblical belief. So these two, belief and love, faith and deed, are going hand in hand. Not just John saying that. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. It's exactly what James is saying that. Right? Matthew saying the same thing. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord. Why do you call Jesus Lord? Matthew 7:21. Why do you call Jesus Lord? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why I call him Lord. Not everyone who call him Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. But the one who do the will of the Heavenly Father will enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 7:21, Etta? What's the will of my Father? Is to love one another. Does that make sense? So what Matthew is teaching and what John is teaching, what James is teaching, they are teaching the same thing. Right? So when you go home, study it, meditate on it, memorize it, and put it into practice. Okay? Oh, Sally, she's a very smart girl. Eh? Sally asked George to give her the class notes. Oh, you know what? I want you to do the same thing to the Bible teaching. Okay? I tell you, you know, you're going to get scholarship. I tell you. You well prepared. You're a smart girl. You follow my footsteps. When I was your age, I'm like that. Good stuff. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us not just be wise in the secular world, secular matter. Help us to be wise in the holy matter. When we study scripture, and help us to study diligently and memorize it and hide your word within our hearts so that we truly understand what God's way of faith is all about. And how help us to love one another in truth, not in our own way, so as to get glory for ourselves, but to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.